I'd like to say good afternoon to everyone and thank everyone for being on the call this afternoon. I want to thank those brothers that have gone before me, offered prayers, and led us in conducting the acts of worship that we, when we assemble to worship God, are commanded by God. We're thankful for those that may be on the call that may not be members of the Church of Christ. We want to say to you that you are our special guest on this afternoon, and we have some special words for you at the end of the message, that you will have those instructions from God that one must obey according to the will of God. I'm thankful for another opportunity to be before you in voice to share with you God's word. You know, me, myself, and Brother Brooks work together in trying to bring messages. We know during this time that we have social distancing is asked. But also, I want to just encourage all of us to just reach out to others during this time of social distancing, but also for some, it can become times of isolation. And so I just want to encourage us to reach out to those, especially those that may not have the family that others may have. Just touch base with them and encourage them that we can lift each other's spirits, because we're in a time, as we'll see in God's word, that we can, our faith can be shaken. And sometimes it's shaken by isolation. Sometimes it's shaken by our circumstances. And we want to see from God's word this afternoon that we are those that are not allow our circumstances to take away our trust, as Brother Curry so well saying, a shelter in a time of a storm, and understand that when the storms come, we still have a shelter. And so I want to speak this afternoon from the subject, the burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. Let us study, as Paul said to Timothy in his second letter, let us study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Habakkuk, and I want to do this in a series, look at chapter 1 today, and it was entitled from just the verse number 1. That was a burden that Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. And so I want to help us, those of us whose circumstances and situations have been moved from center because of things that are going on. And I want us to see, try to find from the Word of God a word that would encourage all of us that are walking today and living today. And again, sometimes things can happen in our lives that we just need encouragement from the Word of God. Now, I want to say with this letter, for those that may not be familiar with Habakkuk, there is one difference between Habakkuk and other prophets. You know, prophets were spokesmen for God. God will tell the prophets what he wanted his people to hear. And the prophets will go and tell the people what God has said to them. Have in this case, instead of taking God's message directly to the people, as most prophets did, what Habakkuk does is take the complaints of the people directly to God representing them in a complaint to God. And so Habakkuk says, and it's basically, we'll look at it in three sections so we can summarize it. I want us to see first what Habakkuk saw and what he told God. And then I want us to see God's response to Habakkuk, and then how Habakkuk responds back to God. And I want us to see that in this text, we'll find the situation. We know we complain a lot about the times we're living in and those that are leading us and how we, if we're not careful as Christians, we will lose our faith because of who's, quote-unquote, in the White House. But I want us to know it does not matter who's in the White House. It matters who's in God's house. And I'm going to show us that in the text, because God is the one that's still directing men. And if our time allows, I'll show us from the text what God did. And so in Habakkuk 1:1, the Bible says the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. And I want to know what is a burden. And this, I want you to find yourselves in the text. A burden is something that one has to accept or carry that is difficult to deal with. Let me say that again. A burden is something that one has to accept or carry that is difficult to deal with. It is a load that wears on you. And so Habakkuk had saw this, and he told God about the burden. He said, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear me? Even cry unto thee a violence, and thou wilt not save me." It can sometimes appear to us that God is not listening to our prayer. That's what Habakkuk said. "Lord, how long shall I cry and you won't hear me? Or even I cry to you of a violence and you won't save me." He said, verse 3, "showest me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance, for spoiling and violence are before me. And there are that rise up strife and contention." So Habakkuk said, "Lord, I have a grievance. I have a reason that I'm unhappy because of the situation." He says, "For spoiling and violence is right before me." And then you got those that are rising up with strife. Those and then contention. Strife being when you have conflict that leads to violence, and contention is when you have verbal argument. So Habakkuk was trying to inform God of the state of the affair. And he said, "Therefore, because of this, the law is slack, or the law is lacking, and judgment doeth never go forth. For," he said, "the wicked doeth compass it, or surround about the righteous." He said, "Therefore, wrong judgment proceeded." Habakkuk stated to God his complaint and the situation that was at hand. And God then responded to Habakkuk. And I'm saying this to encourage us. God is aware of whatever is going on. Whatever is happening, God is allowing what is happening. Notice God's response to Habakkuk. I read it and I'll come back and look at it. God said, "Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed to themselves. He said, their horses also are swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than even the evening wolves, and their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly the eagles that hasted to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sop up as the east wind. They shall gather captivity as the sand. They shall scoff at the kings, and princes shall be scorned unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this power unto his God. God said to Habakkuk, verse 5, he said, now, behold, you are among, the heathen here simply means you're among the people. And God said, I want you to pay attention. Because there's going to be a wonderful, marvelously, God said, something that's hard to believe, that's going to be extremely good. God said, I will work a work in your day, which you will not believe, though it be told you. He said, Habakkuk, you wouldn't even believe it if people told you what's going to happen. And sometimes we live in a time that, and me and Brother Brooks talks about this, we see a great restoration of the Church of Christ. It's going to be so marvelous. If people told you what would happen, you wouldn't even believe. God said you wouldn't even believe it. But God reminded him, and I need to remind us, God said, for lo, I'm the one that raised up the Chaldeans. I'm the one that allowed the one to be in the White House to be in the White House. God said, I'm the one. I know how the Chaldeans are. They're bitter and they're hasty. That's who they are. God said, I know when those that may lead may be arrogant and how they are. He said, we shall march through the breadth of the land, and they're going to possess places that are not even theirs. God said, they're terrible and they're dreadful. I know how bad they are. I know how unpleasant they are. God said, I'm the one that raised them up. And sometimes we are careful that we are not, may not really understand God is watching everything. God was telling Habakkuk, you ain't informing me of nothing. You ain't bringing me no news that I don't know about. I'm the one that put the news in the paper, not the paper in me. God said. So I want to say to all of us, God knows what's going on. God sees what's going on. God said, I'm a work of work. And I know. Again, my Brother Brooks and myself dialogue and talk. You know, there may be some that are now attending worship service every week that may not have even been attending. There'll be those that are given to the Lord now that may not have been given as they should have been given. There's those that are looking up to God now that was not looking up. God said, I'm going to work a work in your days. He said, if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. These Chaldeans who are running roughshod over you and doing you and putting you through the blender, God said, I know your concerns, Habakkuk, that you have for my people. I have a concern also. And so when God told Habakkuk this, Habakkuk responds. He says in verse 12 to 17, I'll bring it to a point. He said, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? He said, we shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. And, O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Understand, Habakkuk was telling God, he said, thou art of purer eye than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore, lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously. He said, now you're holding thy tongue when the wicked devour the man that is more righteous than he. He said to God, are you looking at the evil that they are doing? They can't be trusted. He said, you, God, it seems like you're not even saying anything. And they're committing violence against the people when wrong is being done in the land to the righteous. God is looking. He says, and maketh man as the fish of the sea and as creeping things that have no rule over them. He's talking about the Chaldeans then. He says, they take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net, and they gather them in their drag. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad, talking about the Chaldeans. Therefore, they sacrifice unto their net and burn incense until their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat is plenty. It seems like those that have plenty are getting more, and those that have less is that less is being taken in. He says, shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continuously to slay the nation? He was saying, God, you know, how can you let those godless people represent you and do your will? But see, you got to understand God and who God is. So I want to share, go back to Daniel, and because the Chaldeans were Nebuchadnezzar. That's the Babylonians. And so in Daniel chapter 4, and I want us to see, when you have those in authority that seem like you getting the short end of the stick, God is not watching. Well, the case with Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4, I want to pick up at verse number 28. Daniel 4:28. When God told Habakkuk, I'm going to work a work in your days. And Daniel came after Habakkuk. And Daniel was taken into captivity by the Babylonians. Read Daniel chapter 1. And Nebuchadnezzar, with all this, the Chaldeans were a haughty nation, and arrogant. And sometimes you can have leadership that are arrogant. But that's when my trust is in the Word of God. The Bible says in Daniel 4:28, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible says, verse 29, I'm reading through. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? See, sometimes leaders can get beside themselves and think it's them that's doing everything. And I want to encourage those of us that are Christians not to overly concern yourself with those that are enacting laws and doing leading. Notice what the Bible says when a Nebuchadnezzar had raised up and talked about, notice the word, my power, my majesty. And the Bible says, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. I'm talking to you. The kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and give it to whomever he will. God told Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to be sleeping out in the grass. You're going to be eating grass like oxen until you recognize that the Most High is the one that rules in the kingdoms of men. We live in a nation called America. We live in what is called the United States. But I want all of us to understand God is the one who rules. In whatever kingdom man set up, God rules that kingdom. And God will give it to whomever he will. The Bible says, the same hour was the thing fulfilled unto Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with dew from heaven. Yeah, so the ground was his bed space. He said, till his hairs were grown like eagle feathers, and his nails like bird claws. Understand this, church. God can make a man do whatever God wants him to do. God is the one that rules in the kingdom. We live in America, but God is the one that ruled America. God, not only America, but God rules all the world. The Bible says, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, notice the change in Nebuchadnezzar. God said, I'm going to work a work that if I told you I was going to do it, you wouldn't even believe it. The Bible says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised, and I honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. And his kingdom is from one generation to another generation. And all inhabitants of the earth are reputed as they count as nothing. And he, talking about God, doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay, nobody can stop God's hand and say unto him, what doest thou? And at the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven and all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride. He is able to abase or make low. And I'm saying to us, those of us that are Christians, our responsibility, and we'll build on this next Sunday, the Lord say the same. There is a burden that each of us may be carrying, one that we have to accept, one that we have to deal with, that a burden in many cases could be financial. Our finances. I'm burdened. I'm having to accept something that I nothing I can do about it. I'm having to carry a load that I wasn't wanting to carry, but it's on me now. And I want you to know that this load is wearing me down. But remember, there's a Most High, as Nebuchadnezzar realized, it's in heaven, who's up high, looking down low. God understands each of our situations. That's why it's so important. 1 Peter 3:12, to be a child of God. If you're on the call today and you're not a child of God, I realize in 1 Peter 3:12, where God said, and this is what Habakkuk appeared not to realize, where Peter said, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So we realize that God is watching our situation, our circumstances. God, we'll talk about it next week. God's ears are open to our prayer. But we want to understand that God is watching. Habakkuk didn't realize. I lost him for a moment. That he said, Lord, you're not watching what's going on. I'm crying to you and you're not hearing. You don't see what's going on. God sees what's going on. And I'm trying to encourage all of us. God knows what we're going on, what's going on in our lives. God knows our situation. You know, we miss one another. We miss not assembling, seeing everybody's faces, only seeing them partially and passing, but not assembling. God knows all things. And God can send us comforters, as God did when Titus went to Paul and encouraged him. And I want to share with us that we do those things, and we encourage one another. We do that which is what encourages one another as we walk in this race and find ourselves. And I'm in 2 Corinthians 7 and 6 because some of us may be by ourselves. And Paul said, when he talked about Titus, he said, nevertheless, God, 2 Corinthians 7 and 6, that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And I'm saying to us that sometimes some of us can be Titus in the lives of other people. We're going through stuff, and sometimes the wind just goes out of our sails. Sometimes we need that voice of encouragement, or that note, or that letter, or that card, or that text, or that just lifts our spirits. And so I'm saying to all of us that in the Lord's body, understand that we do need one another. God put us in the body that we might please him and do those things that are pleasing to God. God is the one. 1 Corinthians 12:18, the Bible said, but now has God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. God is the one that allowed us to be in the body as it pleased him. And so I want to encourage us, to encourage one another, And don't let your circumstances cause you to lose faith in God. Don't. Habakkuk brought the burden to God, and God answered, I know what's going on. I know what time it is. I'm the one that set the time. But I'm going to work a work. And my hope and my prayer is that when all is done, and we'll talk about it next week, what is the second phase of this? This is just the burden part. This is the situation. These are circumstances. But God said, I'm going to work a work. And I want to just encourage us to encourage one another. Reach out to those that may be isolated, those that may be alone. Just reach out. You know, pray for those that are going through things. You know, let them know you're praying for them. Do those things that God has said, because God is listening to our prayer. That's what Peter said. And if you're on the call tonight, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, or 1 Peter, excuse me, chapter 3. I want to share that if you're not a child of God, you're on the call and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, I want to say to you in love that you're not a Christian yet. In regards to what you may have been told, you're not a Christian until you obey what God has said. And what you need to know in 1 Corinthians, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, you need to know that God loved you enough that verse 18, Peter reminded them. He said, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And so Paul, or Peter, excuse me, wanted them to realize that all of us, when we violate the will of God, we become unjust. But Jesus was the just, who died for the unjust, that he might bring us back to God. And so we come back to God by doing what Jesus, we imitate what Christ did. Christ, it's called the gospel. Christ died for our sins. He was buried in a tomb, and then he rose again the third day. Well, Peter said in verse 20, he said, "With sometimes with disobedient, when once a long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us, is not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but it's the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." So what Peter was letting them know, in order to become a Christian, in order to become a child of God, one must obey the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is that Jesus Christ suffered 6 hours on that cross. He died on that cross for our sins. You must believe that message regarding Jesus Christ, and then one has to be baptized. As we say, it's not for taking a bath, as Peter said in verse 21, but it's called baptism. It's when you are submerged under water. God has commanded it in Colossians 2:12 that one be baptized for the forgiveness of all his past sins, and then the Lord will add you to the one church, the one place where salvation is. God is the one that does that. According to Acts 2:47, the Lord adds you to the church. If you're on the call tonight, or this afternoon, and you're not a Christian, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you are not in a saved state, because you need water to save you. That's why the Bible says these eight souls were saved by water. Well, water also, that same figure, will save you today if you're obedient to God. And that you've heard the gospel, you believe it, you repent of your sin, meaning you turn from the life that you're living and you turn toward God, and you make the one confession we find in Acts 8:36 and 37, where when the eunuch wanted to be baptized, he made the confession. I made the statement, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's the statement that one makes before we baptize him, and the Lord will add you to the church. If you're on the call this afternoon, don't live outside of Christ. I've shared with you how God, we're going through stuff, and if you're going to go through a burden, if you're going to face issues, I want to face them with God instead of being without God. And the one way you face them with God is when you become a child of God. And you're not a child of God until one render obedience to the gospel of Christ and be in that obedience through baptism into the Church of Christ, the only church, Romans 16:16, the only church you can read about in the Bible. I want to thank you on this afternoon, those that have listened. We talked about the burden on this afternoon. Next week, we'll look at what is referred to as the vision that Habakkuk saw in chapter 2. And hopefully, these lessons will encourage us that even though we're living in times that may seem like we don't know what's going on, God is still in control. He had to remind Habakkuk of that. And hopefully I reminded us today that God is still in control. God is the one who rules in the kingdom that man set up. Thank you very much for your patience on this afternoon. I turn the call back over to our facilitator, my friend, my partner, Brother Tommy Brooks. Thank you very much.